Ever wonder how companies seem to know exactly what you're into? Like, how do they hit the bullseye with their marketing?
It's really remarkable, isn't it?
Well, get this. We're diving deep into a new system, and it's all about combining, like, the brain power of AI with, you know, the complexities of actual psychology.
Yeah, it's fascinating how these two fields, AI and psychology, are sort of converging. Because think about it, AI can process these massive, massive data sets.
Right, mountains of data.
Exactly. And psychology steps in to help us understand the why behind people's actions. You know, why we do the things we do. Put those two together.
Boom. You've got marketing that's not just effective. It's like scarily insightful.
Yeah.
Okay. So where are we getting all this from? Our deep dive today is based on a research paper. And get ready for this title.
It's a mouthful.
It really is. It's called Künstliche Intelligenz. Marketing Intelligence System Savet September 2024.pdf.
Catchy. Right.
Totally. But hey, don't let the title scare you off. It's by Unif Lechtmag, Dr. Joseph Selvet.
He's from the University of Vienna.
He's a big name in marketing psychology.
He really is. And in this paper, he lays out this new system, the marketing intelligence system.
And the big idea behind it.
Precision in marketing, basically. It's a structured, multi-step process that companies can use to get really, really specific with their strategies.
Okay, so let's say a company wants to create like a brand new marketing campaign from the ground up.
Yeah.
This system is their step-by-step guide.
Exactly. It's like their roadmap to navigate each stage of the process.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This system, it's not just about data points and algorithms and all that.
Right. It's not just cold, hard data.
No, it's heavily rooted in psychology. And we're not just talking like basic psychology. We're talking behavioral science, understanding those subconscious triggers behind how people make decisions, and even decision neuroscience, which is...
Decision neuroscience, that sounds intense.
It is pretty intense. It's all about looking at how our brains actually make choices. Like when you're deciding between two products at the store...
Which one goes in the basket?
Exactly. Decision neuroscience uses brain activity to understand those choices.
So we're talking about like peeking into the minds of consumers. No wonder companies are all over this.
Absolutely. It's powerful stuff. And Dr. Sotz, he breaks this whole system down into 8 distinct steps.
8 steps. Okay, hit me with step one. What's the starting point?
He starts with what he calls stakeholder mapping, which is about figuring out all the key players a company needs to consider for their marketing.
So it's not just about customers.
It's bigger than that. We're talking about anyone who can influence a company's goals.
Give me some examples. Who are these stakeholders?
You've got your customers, of course, but also influencers, journalists. You've got policymakers, even.
So it's about understanding who has influence, how much, and how to reach them.
Exactly. Which brings us to step two, stakeholder profiling.
All right, step two, stakeholder profiling. Tell me more.
This is where you go beyond just basic demographics.
Demographics, so like age, location, that kind of thing.
Right, that's important. But this step digs deeper into something called psychographics.
Psychographics. Okay, gotta admit, that one sounds a little intimidating. What are we talking about here?
It's simpler than it sounds. Think of it like this: psychographics are all about what makes people tick.
What makes them tick? So their motivations, their values.
Yes, their aspirations, their fears, their desires. For marketers, these insights, gold, pure gold.
I can see why. So it's not just knowing someone's age or where they live. It's about understanding what drives them, what they truly care about.
Exactly. And when you have that level of insight, you can craft messages that really resonate.
It's about speaking directly to their needs and wants. I like it.
It's powerful stuff. Let me give you an example. Dr. Sotz talks about this health program targeting professional women all between 30 and 50 years old.
Okay, pretty specific demographic there.
Right, but they went deeper. They discovered these women were passionate about natural products. They were driven by self-improvement and really wanted evidence-based solutions for their health concerns.
So instead of just saying, okay, they're women in their 30s and 40s, they dug deeper. They wanted to know what made them tick.
And that's the key.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've got the who figured out. What's next on this marketing roadmap?
All right, so you understand who you're trying to reach. Now you need to figure out how your product or service stacks up against the competition.
Right. Size up the competition.
That's where step three comes in. Multi-attribute analysis.
Multi-attribute analysis. Okay, that one sounds a little complicated.
I promise it's not that bad. Think of it like a comparison checklist.
A checklist, okay.
Yeah. Let's stick with that health program example. They use this step to see how they measure up against other health programs out there, all from the perspective of those professional women.
So through the eyes of their target audience.
Exactly. It's about asking, What are those make or break factors these women consider when they choose a health program? Is it price? Is it specific program features?
Maybe it's the credibility of the experts running the program.
Right. You're figuring out where your strengths and weaknesses lie within the marketplace.
It's like you're sizing up the competition, but you're doing it from your ideal customer's point of view.
You got it. And that leads us very nicely to step four, which builds on this competitive analysis.
Which is?
The strengths, weaknesses analysis of your own company.
Ah, so you've looked at the competition, now it's time to look inward.
Exactly. You're taking all that data from your comparison and identifying your competitive edge, where you really shine.
So what are we doing well? Where can we improve? What makes us stand out?
Exactly those questions. This step is all about understanding your own strengths and weaknesses within the context of your competitors.
It's like taking inventory, right?
Yeah.
Before you wade into battle, you want to know what you're bringing to the table.
Exactly. And that brings us to a very important point, step five.
Okay, lay it on me. Step five.
Identifying your unique selling propositions, or USPs, as Dr. Sawitz calls them.
USPs, got it. So in other words, what makes you different? And not just different, but better than the competition.
You got it. This is where you figure out your winning strategy.
Exactly. It's about finding what truly sets you apart. Like, are you the most affordable option out there? Do you offer something completely unique that no one else does? What's that magic ingredient?
It's like finding that sweet spot where what you're good at overlaps with what your target audience really wants. It's all coming together now. We've zeroed in on our target audience, we've sized up the competition, and we're clear on our strengths. What's next in Dr. Sawetz's master plan?
Right, so now we've got to figure out how to actually reach those people. How do we get on the radar? And that's where step six comes in, touchpoint mapping.
Touchpoint mapping, okay, I like the sound of this.
This stage is all about identifying the best channels, the most effective ways to connect with your audience. We're talking about figuring out, like, where do they hang out online?
Right, because they might not all be in the same place.
Exactly. Are they glued to social media? Maybe they're all about those email newsletters, or maybe they're more old school and respond to, like, print ads or events.
You gotta meet them where they are. It's like, you wouldn't propose at a monster truck rally, right? Wrong place, wrong message.
Exactly. You want to choose the right setting and tailor your message accordingly. So once you know where to find your audience, we move on to step seven, touchpoint profiling.
Touchpoint profiling. So if I'm following you, this is where we really get into the nitty-gritty of each touchpoint, like what makes each one unique.
You got it. This step is about tailoring your message for each specific channel you've chosen.
Because what works on Instagram might not work on, say, LinkedIn.
Precisely. An email campaign needs a totally different tone and style compared to a, say, billboard ad or a podcast sponsorship.
So it's about understanding those subtle differences between each platform and, like, how people use them differently.
Exactly. Yeah. How do people interact with each platform? What are their expectations? You've got to speak their language.
Okay, this is all making a lot of sense.
And it leads us beautifully to our final step, crafting a communication profile.
The grand finale. Okay, break it down for me. What exactly is a communication profile?
This is where everything we've talked about comes together. All those insights from the previous steps, your target audience's psychographics, your competitive analysis, your unique selling points, your touchpoint mapping, it all gets synthesized here.
So it's like the blueprint for your actual messaging.
Exactly. And you use all these insights to craft super targeted messages for each stage of the customer journey.
Okay, so walk me through that. What does that actually look like?
Sure. So imagine someone just heard about your brand for the first time. You craft a message that sparks their curiosity, maybe highlights your USP. Then maybe they visit your website time for a message that provides more in-depth info.
And then further down the line, maybe you're encouraging them to make a purchase or sign up for your email list.
Exactly. It's about creating a seamless experience that feels personalized.
Personalized. So it feels less like they're being marketed to and more like
a conversation.
I like that. So this marketing intelligence system, it's not just about pushing products. It's about building those relationships, building trust with your audience. And you do that by really understanding them. To really illustrate this, let's dive into that example from Dr. Sawetz's paper.
Okay, sounds good.
He talks about a fictional skincare company, totally dedicated to natural ingredients and ethical sourcing. They're about to launch a new line of, like, organic serums.
Nice. Sounds right up my alley.
Right. So how would they use this system to make sure this launch is a smash hit?
Well, they'd start with stakeholder mapping. Figure out who their key players are.
Okay, so that's step one. Who are we talking about here?
So you've got your target customer, of course. Maybe they're millennials, super concerned about sustainability.
They want products that are good for their skin and good for the planet.
Exactly. But it's not just the customers. We're also talking about beauty bloggers, dermatologists, maybe even those ethical lifestyle magazines, anyone who carries influence in that world.
Makes sense. Okay, so they've got a general idea of who matters, but how do they go from this big picture mapping to really understanding these individual stakeholders? That's where the profiling comes in, right?
Exactly. They would use stakeholder profiling to dig deeper into those key players. Like, they might find that their ideal customer is constantly on visual platforms.
Like Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah. And they're probably super influenced by, like, peer recommendations and online reviews.
They trust what their friends and other skincare enthusiasts have to say.
Exactly. And they really, really value brands that are transparent about their ingredients and where they source them.
So it's not just about knowing they're a millennial who cares about the environment. It's about understanding where they get their information, what influences their choices, even their lifestyle preferences.
You got it. It's about getting granular.
It's all in the details.
Right. And all those details, they feed into the next step. So when they get to multi-attribute analysis, they're comparing their serum against the competition, but not just on price or ingredients.
What else are they looking at? Give me an example.
Sure. They might be looking at things like, are their competitors B Corp certified? Do their brand values align with their target customers' values? Even things like, how sustainable is their packaging and shipping?
Because they've already figured out that these things actually matter to their target audience.
Exactly. You've got to understand what makes them tick and then position your product accordingly.
Okay, I'm starting to see the strategy here. So it's like they're playing a game of chess, but they've used those earlier steps to get inside the mind of their opponent.
Right, they're anticipating their moves.
And planning their own strategy accordingly. Okay, so what happens once they've got a handle on the competitive landscape?
That's when they turn inward. Time for the strengths, weaknesses analysis.
Time for some honest self-reflection.
Exactly. Let's say this skincare company, they realize that their whole thing, their commitment to using locally sourced fair trade ingredients, that's a huge plus.
It's a major selling point.
Huge. But maybe their packaging, it's a bit generic and customers are getting more and more conscious about packaging.
They want sustainable options.
Right. Eco-friendly packaging is a big deal these days. So they've identified a key strength, those ethically sourced ingredients, and a potential weakness, the packaging, that they need to address.
And this is where they really nail down their USP.
You got it. They might double down on what makes them different. Their USP becomes this. We're unwavering in our commitment to ethical sourcing, and we're completely transparent about it.
Show us where your ingredients come from. Tell us the stories behind them.
Exactly. And to address the packaging issue, they might invest in developing eco-friendly packaging and make that a core part of their brand message.
Okay, so their messaging is on point. Now they need to figure out where to share it. This is touchpoint mapping in action, right?
100%. Based on all their profiling, they know Instagram and TikTok are key. But they might also think about partnering with ethical lifestyle bloggers, maybe sponsor some online events that their target audience is into.
Right. It's about strategic placement, not just hoping for the best.
Being in the right place at the right time.
Okay. And then those final two steps, touchpoint profiling and creating the communication profile, those are all about finessing the message for each specific channel.
Exactly. So on Instagram, maybe it's all about visually stunning images. Videos showcasing the natural beauty of their ingredients.
Give people that wow factor.
Right. And on TikTok, maybe they create fun, educational content, something that breaks down organic skincare in a way that resonates with that audience.
Make it playful, make it engaging. Maybe they even partner with a popular skincare influencer to do some product reviews, some tutorials.
Love it. And then for those ethical lifestyle magazines, maybe it's a beautifully written article that delves into their brand story, their commitment to sustainability.
It's amazing how this system allows them to, like, craft such tailored messages.
It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about using data and psychology, all those insights, mm-hmm. to create marketing that feels less like we're trying to sell you something and more like
a genuine connection.
Exactly.
This is fascinating. So the marketing intelligence system, it's not just about boosting those sales figures. It's about building relationships, creating a sense of trust with your audience. And that feels like a win-win for everyone involved.
I think so, too.
Wow, that skincare company example, that really brings the whole marketing intelligence system to life.
It does, doesn't it? you start to realize just how much goes into creating a marketing campaign that really works. It's a lot more than just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping it sticks.
No kidding. So much strategy.
Right. And this approach just makes sense. Companies, they want to understand their customers better than ever, and they want to tailor their messages to really resonate.
It's like that old saying, put yourself in their shoes, but it's like next level empathy, you know, driven by data.
Exactly. And for us, for consumers, this can be a good thing.
Yeah. How so?
Think about it. When companies use all these insights well, it means less spam, fewer ads that miss the mark. It's more of the stuff we actually care about.
Okay, yeah. Nobody wants to be drowning in irrelevant ads all the time. It's overwhelming.
It really is. But let's flip the script for a second.
Okay.
All this personalization, could it go too far?
That's what I was thinking. It's a fine line, right?
Yeah.
Like, at what point does it start to feel intrusive? Like, companies are getting a little too good at reading our minds.
It's a valid concern. The key here, really, is that companies use all these insights responsibly. It's about finding that sweet spot between providing value to us as consumers and respecting our privacy.
So transparency is huge, then.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Companies, they need to be upfront about the data they're gathering, how they're using it. No more hiding behind vague terms and conditions.
Yeah. Plain language, please. Give us the information straight up so we can make informed choices.
Exactly. Consumers, they need to know what's happening behind the scenes. And importantly, they need to be able to opt out if they want to.
It's about having control. Control over your own data, your online experience.
100%. And honestly, I think it boils down to trust. When companies are open about how they operate, when they're using all these insights ethically, that builds stronger relationships with their customers in the long run.
It's like you were saying earlier, it's about starting a conversation, not just shouting at people through a megaphone, hoping they'll listen.
Exactly. And I'll say this too. I think the more we as consumers understand these techniques, the more we pay attention, the more discerning we become about the companies we support.
It's like voting with our wallets. If a company's values align with ours, if they're respectful of our data, we're more likely to give them our business. Okay, so to wrap things up for today, let's bring it all home for our listeners. We've gone deep on how companies are using data and psychology to really target their marketing.
The next time you see an ad that feels like it was made just for you, you know there's a whole system behind it.
Exactly. And hopefully after this deep dive, you're more aware of how these systems work, how they might be used. Maybe you're feeling inspired to be a little more intentional about your own data, the brands you choose.
Knowledge is power, right? The more you understand how things work, the more power you have as a consumer.
Love that. So next time you're scrolling through those social media feeds, pay attention. Keep your eyes peeled for those personalized touches. Think about that marketing intelligence system, how it might be at play. And until next time, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a fascinating one.